Hello and welcome to this week's Poem of the Week podcast in the Inner Sanctum. Thanks as always for joining me. I'm going today to focus on at least one, possibly two, romantic poems. Say romantic poems, by which I mean poems by the romantic poets, both on a similar topic. In other words, both on a bird. So there's Percy Bysshe Shelley's To a Skylark, and then John Keats's Ode to a Nightingale. And I like to teach these two poems juxtapositionally, I'm sure that's probably not a word, side by side, because apart from the similarity in theme, they're actually extremely different. Because Percy Shelley is looking at the beauty of the skylark, especially, specifically the skylark song, and rejoicing at the beauty. And even though he is himself an atheist, although I wonder whether he had mellowed by this point, he can nonetheless rejoice at the beauty of creatures such as the skylark's song. And then Keats, on the other hand, again, it's an ode to a nightingale, and again, it's the song, because in neither case can the bird itself be seen. So it's not visual beauty that's being praised here, it's oral beauty, the beauty of the song of both birds. I doubt, actually, the more I think about it, I'm going to have time to do both, so perhaps we'll have to come to Ode to a Nightingale later. But the key thing about the two poems taken together is that Keats's poem, as distinct from Shelley's, is narcissistic. So it's as if the Song of the Nightingale is a figment of the poet's own psyche, his own imagination. What is there any reality beyond the self, basically, and beyond the self's self-absorption? It seems to be written under the influence of drink or drugs. The poet seems to be oblivious to the fullness of consciousness, because he has succumbed to something which numbs him. Now, whether that's just psychological or whether there's a physical abuse involved is perhaps a moot point. But the two poems take a side by side important. So I'm going to ask you basically to remember this short preamble, because I'm sure as Shelley's To a Skylark is quite a long poem that I won't get time to read both. But I'll get to Ode to a Nightingale next week or the week after or something. Excuse me. So I don't know if I want to say too much more. This is not really a class on the poem To a Skylark, but let's just say that there's a phrases like unpremeditated art. In other words, there's something in the music of the skylark which is not premeditated, that's purely part of what the skylark is. There's a symphony of senses with one verse after another going through thought, images of thought, and then sound, and then sight, and then scent. So it's just an absolutely sensually beautiful poem and a contemplation, meditation on beauty itself, inspired by the song of the skylark. Perhaps I will also say something very quickly about a skylark, because I don't believe you have them in the United States. I have certainly not experienced one. And the thing about a skylark, it's a very important part of rural England. So again, you don't get skylarks in the city because they nest in fields. They are not particularly good-looking birds. They're pretty plain and grey, brownish-grey. But their song is out of this world, and they sing in flight, so whilst hovering. And they fly so high, and it's a summer bird, so it's normally, actually, it's going to remind somebody in England of both the countryside and summertime, so a nice combination here in itself. And you hear the bird and its beauty of its song, but you often can't see it because it flies so high, it hovers as it sings, and it's just a sort of black speck against the blue of the sky or the white of the clouds. This is the sort of background for you to bear in mind as we read the poem. I think I've talked enough, over 5 minutes of a preamble here. So, without further ado, To a Skylark by Percy Bysshe Shelley. Hail to thee, blithe spirit, bird thou never wert, that from heaven or near it pourest thy full heart in profuse strains of unpremeditated art, higher still and higher. From the earth thou springest like a cloud of fire, the blue deep thou wingest, and singing still dost soar, and soaring ever singest. In the golden lightning of the sunken sun, o'er which clouds are brightening, thou dost float and run like an unbodied joy whose race is just begun. The pale purple even melts around thy flight like a star of heaven in the broad daylight. Thou art unseen, but yet I hear thy shrill delight. Keen as are the arrows of that silver sphere whose intense lamp narrows in the white dawn clear, until we hardly see, we feel that it is there. All the earth and air with thy voice is loud, as when night is bare, from one lonely cloud the moon rains out her beams, and heaven is overflowed. What thou art we know not. What is most like thee? From rainbow clouds there flow not drops so bright to see as from thy presence showers a rain of melody. Like a poet hidden in the light of thought, singing hymns unbidden, till the world is wrought to sympathy with hopes and fears it heeded not. Like a high-born maiden in a palace tower, soothing her love-laden soul in secret hour with music sweet as love which overflows her bower. Like a glow-worm golden in a dell of dew, scattering unbeholden its aerial hue among the flowers and grass which screen it from the view. Like a rose embowered in its own green leaves, by warm winds deflowered till the scent it gives makes faint with too much sweet these heavy winged thieves. Sound of vernal showers on the twinkling grass, rain awakened flowers, all that ever was, joyous and clear and fresh, thy music doth surpass. Teach us, sprite or bird, what sweet thoughts are thine. I have never heard praise of love or wine that panted forth a flood of rapture so divine. Chorus hymeneal, O triumphal chant, matched with thine would be all but an empty vaunt, a thing wherein we feel there is something hidden want. What objects are the fountains of thy happy strain? What fields or waves or mountains? What shapes of sky or plain? What love of thine own kind? What ignorance of pain? With thy clear, keen joyance, languor cannot be. Shadow of annoyance never came near thee. Thou lovest, but ne'er knew love's sad satiety. Waking or asleep, thou of death must deem things more true and deep than we mortals dream, or how could thy notes flow in such a crystal stream? We look before and after and pine for what is not. Our sincerest laughter with some pain is fraught. Our sweetest songs are those that tell of saddest thought. Yet, if we could scorn hate and pride and fear, if we were things born not to shed a tear, I know not how thy joy we ever should come near. Better than all measures of delightful sound, better than all treasures that in books are found, thy skill to poet were, thou scorner of the ground. Teach me half the gladness that thy brain must know, such harmonious madness from my lips would flow. The world should listen then, as I am listening now. Beautiful. One of my all-time favourites. Thanks, as always, for listening to the Poem of the Week podcast here in the Inner Sanctum. Please do join me next week when perhaps we'll be doing Keats's Ode to a Nightingale. Perhaps we won't. I know that the St. George's Day is on the horizon, which also happens to be Shakespeare's birthday. So I'm planning to have some sort of celebration of England or Shakespeare or St. George or combination of the same at some point closest, whether that's next week or the week after. I am not really sure. Probably next week I shall do that. I don't know, maybe the week after. Anyway, I'm rambling. Thanks so much, as always, for joining me. See you next week. Goodbye and God bless.